give thanks to America.
His rich blessings.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone, welcome aboard the Kids Canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Well, ahoy crew members again, this is Glenn Swiston of Kids Canoe. And if you remember last time, I promised I was going to take a part of a Dr. Seuss story called Horton Hears a Who, because I'm going to use it to illustrate to children as to how and what is happening in Israel today between Israel and Hamas. Well, Horton Hears the Who was by Dr. Seuss. It tells the story of Horton the Elephant and his adventures saving Whoville. Whoville is a tiny planet located on a speck of dust. And one of the things happens is all the animals are angry with him because they can't hear the voice of the Whoville, but only, of course, Horton with those big ears can hear them. So these animals attempt to steal and burn the speck of dust. So Horton goes to great lengths to save Whoville from being incinerated. And by the way, the motto in all of this is a person, no matter how small. That's the major theme. So Horton endures harassment, and he endures many trials, but he ends up in the end keeping the Who safe. And also, the rest of the animals in the end get to hear the voice of those in Whoville. So, we're going to do that. Now, if you remember, I said the story begins with a speck of dust. And this speck of dust is floating in the air while Horton, the elephant, is in a big pool. And he's in the water and he hears something. And he keeps listening and listening. His ears turn up. And one of the things he finally does is he hears a voice crying out for help. They're afraid that the particle of dust will fall into the water and they will drown. So what Horton does, he hears them. He then starts talking to them and he finds out that they need help. You know, it's kind of interesting because not only is he talking to them, but they are also talking to him. So anyway, Horton saves them and he puts them on a small little flower. Now, I want to basically symbolize this tiny speck of dust with the Jewish people. They're going to represent Israel. And if you know the religions of the world, okay, Christianity is about 30%, Islam is about 25%, Hindu is about 15%, and so on. But you know, when you get down to Judaism, do you know it's only represents 0.02% of the religions of the world? So you can see they're very small. In fact, I couldn't help but remember the movie Men in Black. And in that movie Men in Black, they were trying to save an entire galaxy called Orion. And it was a small little bauble on the end of a necklace that was being worn by a cat. So one of the things is we want to look at this in terms of the fact that the speck of dust is Israel. Now, what about Horton? Well, Horton is going to represent God. You know, remember, God says, before you even finish speaking, I will hear you. He says this in Isaiah 65, 24. And then in Psalm 34, 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. And then in Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. So we see we're going to let Horton represent God. Okay, and you know, it's kind of funny because I knew this from being a biologist. In fact, my wife, she majored in zoology. And if you know anything about the two types of elephants, Asian elephants have very small ears, whereas African elephants have immense ears. And of course, the Asian elephant is much smaller, only gets to about 11,000 pounds, where an African elephant gets to about 13,000. So we see this dichotomy here, this difference. And we're going to look at the dichotomy again between, of course, Allah and Yahweh. Now, even as Christians, we remember something in John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we see this. We see now an example. We see God as representing one who rescues us. He brings us to him. He, just like Horton, he takes that speck of dust and puts them in a very special place on a flower. Now, what happens next is kind of really interesting, because here is Horton, and he's rescued this little tiny speck, which represents the nation Israel, and he puts it on a really special fragrant flower, the flower of a clover. And one of the things that someone is observing him, and that the one observing him happens to be a kangaroo with a little joey in his pouch. Now, the kangaroo is angry and says, "Who are you talking to? There's no one there. You're making all this up." And he's angry with Horton because he's talking to this little tiny speck. Well, finally, the kangaroo and the joey, they get angry, and they decide to jump into the water and create a big splash that will wash that little speck into the water, and they will drown. But Horton steps in front of them, and his immense body blocks the water. You know, I can't help but thinking, but if you think about the kangaroo, I'm going to compare kangaroo to Allah, or to the Islamic faith. And Hamas, the little joey in there, is an offshoot, okay? Remember, the Islamic people are very faithful about making sure their young hear about Allah and learn the Quran. Well, I have to bring this up because it's amazing to me. If you know what the Hamas have called their invasion into Israel, they called it Al-Qasa flood. Yeah, flood. Exactly what this kangaroo and the joey tried to do. They tried to basically destroy the little speck that was Israel. So, one of the things I want to look at is this kangaroo, because I'm letting him represent Allah or Islam. And one of the things we read about him is actually in a book called Mein Kampf. And Mein Kampf was written by a man named Adolf Hitler. And this is what he says. I'm quoting directly from his book, Mein Kampf. "Hence, today I believe that I am acting in accordance with the will of Almighty Creator. By defending myself against the Jew, I am fighting for the work of Allah." Wow, and you know what resulted there? Hitler tried to wipe out the Jewish people. It's happened before. It happened when we look at the Feast of Purim, and we see what happened in Persia when Haman tried to destroy all the Jewish people. So, one of the things that we look at in detail now is what the worshipers of Allah believe. The Islamic Brotherhood, for example, was founded in Egypt in 1928. And what they did was they admired Hitler. In fact, they said, we worship Allah first and Hitler second. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood topped 200,000 people. And during World War II, members of the Muslim Brotherhood spied for Hitler in the Middle East, and they fought for him in two specially deformed Muslim Waffen SS called the Hanskar Division. Hanskar meaning a saber, a curved saber. So we see there's a connection here. And one of the things that we understand from this is that I'm trying to represent the kangaroo at this particular point in his life as representing Islam. Okay, so where in the world do these ideas come from? Where did Hitler get his ideas from? Where did the Islamic people get their ideas from? Well, they get it from the word of Allah. the word of Allah is written in a book called the Quran. Now, many years ago, I was introduced to Christianity, and I was wondering, well, is this the real thing? And I got a book, The Religions of the World. And yes, during the course of my studies, I actually read the Quran, and I also read the Bhagavad Gita. I was trying to understand, is this what is real? Is Christianity what's the real thing I should be concentrating on, that I should be worshiping? And I decided that the only thing that made sense in all of those religions of the world was the fact of Christianity, because it made sense. It was written over 1,500 years by 39 different authors, but yet all agreeing together. The Quran was only written by one man, Muhammad, and he was being dictated for 23 years the words that are in the Quran today. Now let me read you some of the... The Quran has 114 chapters. I'm going to quote from just some of them to give you an idea of where the Muslims get their faith from and what they believe. In Quran 2, 191, it says, "Slay the unbelievers wherever you find them." Well, who are the unbelievers? That's anyone who's not a believer in Allah. It tells us in Quran 2, 191 to slay them. Also, in Quran 3:28, it says Muslims must not take the infidels of friends. You shouldn't even be friends with them. And then in Quran 3:85, it says any religion other than Islam is not acceptable. And then in Quran 5:33, it says maim and crucify the infidels if they criticize Islam. So if you criticize Islam, remember like Franklin Graham did, they tell you that they need to be killed, crucified. And then in Quran 8:12, terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than the Quran. Well, I know the Jewish people, the faithful, believe in the Old Testament, and myself, as a believer in Christianity, believe both the Old and New Testament, so they are telling the members of Islam to terrorize and behead me. And in Quran 8:60, it says, Muslims must muster all weapons to terrorize the infidels. In Quran 8:65, the unbelievers are stupid. Urge Muslims to fight them. And in Quran 9:5, when opportunity arises, kill the infidels wherever you find them. In Quran 9:30, the Jews and Christians are perverts. Fight them. And Quran 9:123, make war on the infidels living in your neighborhood. Quran 22:19, punish the unbelievers with garments of fire, hooked iron rods, boiling water, melt their skin and their bellies. And in Quran 47:4, do not hanker for peace with infidels. Behead them when you catch them. We can see why the beheading that we saw of those babies, where it comes from. It comes from the words, from Allah's book, the Quran. Now, you know, one of the things, if you want to get into statistics, one of the things is, if you look at the 1,400 years that since the formation of the Muslim faith, Muhammad being the messenger of Allah, we see that they have killed 270 million people over those 1,400 years. That's almost that's over a quarter of a billion people. That's more than Hitler, Mao, and Stalin have killed by a lot. So we see this is important for us to understand. And one of the things we're going to talk about now is the wicker sham. Now, what happened is in the story, okay, remember Horton hears the who. He rescues them, puts them on a flower. He then has to defend them against the kangaroo and his joey, with the kangaroo being Allah and the joey being Hamas. And one of the things we're going to see is that there's the wicker sham. They're a group of monkeys, and they start climbing the trunk of Horton, and they end up getting the piece of dust at the end of his nose, and they run off with it. Now, one of the things I want to remind you about Hamas is their charter. This is what they say in their charter. Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam obliterates them. Okay? And the land of Palestine is to be Islamic, and we will be so until Judgment Day. And then they say there is only one solution to resolve the conflict, and that is, of course, jihad. So we see them. Now, we're going to look at these monkeys, because there's a whole group of them, and I'm going to represent the monkeys one at a time. The first group of monkeys, the first monkey, is the PLO. the Palestine Liberation Organization. They were founded with the aim of destroying Israel and returning the lands of Israel to the Palestinian people. Yasser Arafat was their leader. The well-known terrorist organization used violence and terrorism to send its message to the world. It was very active in the 60s and the 70s in terrorism, but recently they've repented. In 1988, Arafat renounced terrorism, and they actually have settled in the West Bank. And one of the things that happened is they were both controlling the West Bank and Gaza until 1988. And in 1988, Hamas took over, and they did not want any part of a treaty. They wanted to instill what they had learned from the Quran, behead and kill and wipe out Israel. So they're one of the monkeys, the PLO. Another monkey is Hezbollah. From the inception of Hezbollah to the present, the elimination of the state of Israel has been their primary goal. They want to eliminate them. They're one of the other monkeys that are running up the nose and the back of Horton trying to get at that spec. And then, you know, one of the things you have to be aware of also is there's another group involved just to the north. It's called ISIS. And if you remember ISIS, they established the caliphate, a unified transitional Islamic state based on Sharia law. They want to obtain allegiance from local and global factions to promote the creation of a global caliphate. That's why they call it a quasi flood. The whole world they want to control. And then they want to remove infidels and apostates from the world. Recently, injustice committed by the West are said to be revenged. And then the use of former Western ISIS fighters are be used as lone wolves to conduct terrorism in the United States. They really have as their objective to destroy the United States. So we see them as another monkey going up to attack Israel. But you know, one of the things we read that's very important, Israel has to be very careful of even the United States as one of the monkeys. And I want to read you something from Isaiah 31:1. Those who go down to Egypt for help are doomed. They are relying on Jesus, on Egypt's vast military strength, their horses, their chariots, and their soldiers. You see, one of the things that we have to be aware of is Israel's come to us for help, and at present we're helping them. But one of the things is Israel needs to get protection, the permanent protection, from God, from Yahweh, not from the United States. The United States has been guilty many times of promising one thing but delivering another. Anyone that's familiar with what happened during World War II. In fact, our president at the time refused to have Jews come into our country that were trying to escape the concentration camps in Germany. If you remember, right here in Florida, in Miami, there was a ship full of people from Israel trying to escape persecution. And the president said, you can't come in here. And they ended up going back and end up dying in concentration camps. So we have to be very careful about even the United States can be one of those monkeys. We have to be very careful because, you know, it tells us in Scripture, in the end, Israel will stand alone. There won't be any nation except God to protect them. So one of the things we see is in our own government. We see that now we have actually congressmen. We have this woman, Rashid Tlaib, and she is basically commenting on Israel as being the real fault of all this. And then we have another one, Ilhan Omar. She just recently came out and again against Israel. These are, again, some of the monkeys that are riding up to destroy that little speck. So, you know, Hamas have long been in the United States, by the way. They've infiltrated us long ago. In fact, in the 1988 in Philadelphia, we know the FBI was concerned about them, and they actually secretly taped the meeting that they were having. And this is what came out of their meeting. The committee's goals include increasing financial and moral support for Hamas, fighting, surrendering solutions, and publicizing the savagery of the Jews. That's what's going on now. The Islamic Association for Palestine, the IAP, and the Occupation Fund are all basically set up to do exactly that. Hamas activities agree that hiding their affiliation and intention was the best tactic to avoid negative consequences. In fact, they all made this swearing right on tape that the FBI has. They said this, "I swear by Allah that war is deception," said one leader. Deception and camouflage, pretend you're leaving while you're actually not. Deceive your enemy. And that's what's going on now in America. So we see, you know, and another thing about America, you know, in a way, America is actually, even religiously, exemplifies something called duplicity. So although we, many of us here, really preach Christ, we also have another worship. And that's for that bull that you see on Wall Street. You know, one of the things we see is money is a big part of what we do and why we do it. And Israel has to be quite aware of this. You know, when you look at the ancient worship in Canaan, what were they worshiping? A bull. And what do we worship here? Yeah, Wall Street, the bull. In fact, you know, I happened to look this up and I was interested. When the war broke out, I immediately looked at the stocks called defense stocks. Remember, I don't know if you remember Dwight Eisenhower, but he was a president when I was very young, and he said this, we have to be aware of the industrial military complex. In other words, sometimes we actually benefit immensely from war. And you know what? The top six defense stocks soared after Israel was invaded. So we see that they have to be aware of America, even be very aware, because, you know, when you look at what happened to the people that we promised to protect in Vietnam, we just left them there. And in Afghanistan, we did the same thing. So Israel, I'm telling you, be aware. Yes, they're helping you now, but let me tell you, watch out for the future, because they are duplistic in their beliefs and also in the way they treat people. So another monkey is Iran. Iran is a country, and I'm quoting from Benjamin Netanyahu, Iran is a country that talks about, denies the Holocaust. It denied that it occurred. Promises to wipe out Israel, is engaged in terror throughout the world. This is a regime that is giving vent to the worst impulses. They are basically the ones supporting Hamas. They're another one of those monkeys. Yes, another one of the monkeys climbing up to steal Israel, to steal that speck. So we see, you know, one of the things that the leader of Iran has said, the Jew is Satan in human form. So we need to be aware of that. That's another one of the things. And, you know, one of the things that I happen to think about in all this was Iran is actually what we call complicit in all this. In fact, if you remember a case that occurred many years ago, I remember it well, was Charles Manson family. And you know that they were a group of people that killed these innocent people. But, you know, one of the things that happened was Charles Manson was charged, but he never killed anybody. But he was found guilty because he was complicit. And that's the way I think we have to look very closely at Iran, as being complicit along with Hamas, along with Islam. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, what do we see in America again? Why we have to worry about them? There's another monkey running around, and that's the college students. Yeah, protests erupting on by college students everywhere. One of the things you have to remember about colleges is that people in colleges today, they all were actually denied spiritualism in terms of their upbringing in schools, because schools have to be spiritually dead. They can't preach Christ. They can't. Instead, they've basically invented something called humanism to replace it. So how do you deal with it? Well, I have another thing that's kind of interesting about college students. And by the way, more than 30 Harvard University student organizations are holding Israel entirely responsible. And I can't help but think of something, and that's the Planet of the Apes. You remember in the Planet of the Apes, they believe in evolution also, just like they're teaching in our students today. And you know what? I'm very saddened by the fact that over half of the Christians today accept the theory of evolution. You know, I'm sorry, you need to read the book of Genesis as a narrative, basically as a history book. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You need to understand that we were made and formed in the image of God by God himself. this whole concept of evolution, which preaches from goo to you by way of the zoo. And you know what? When I to keep from getting angry when I see all these students protesting against Israel, I just imagine them as monkeys jumping around. And that's the way you have to imagine this. You have to laugh at it. Getting angry is not what God wants you to do. But you know, when you think of them as simply students going to college, which is basically a miniature of the Planet of the Apes. Think about it in those terms. And one of the things we've been talking about, and I've talked about this for weeks and weeks, is about the fall feasts. Remember, we talked about Rosh Hashanah, and then we talked about Yom Kippur, and then we talked about Sukkot. Well, one of the things that's said in Sukkot is these blessings that are giving. And I'll read you the two that are really important. One, blessed are you, Adonai our God, ruler of the universe. And the other one is, blessed are you, Adonai our God, ruling of the universe, for granting us life, for sustaining us, and for helping us to reach this day. This is important because what they're teaching in school and why these monkeys are running around is all because they have denied, they have not been brought up in the spirituality. They don't have a spiritual compass. They may be knowledgeable, but they certainly are not spiritual. And one of the things I'm looking at is something that occurred in creation of something called the Department of Education. You know, when they were formed, they have actually been giving billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And you know what they've succeeded in doing? At the time when they were created, we were third in the world. We're now fallen to 30th. Not only that, we are falling down in our competition with other schools in the world, and yet our prices and our tuition is skyrocketing. Now, I remember I had a scholarship for 4 years to school, but one of the things, if I would have had to pay, would have cost about $3,000 a year. That's $12,000 total. Today, the better colleges, they cost about $60,000 a year. That's $250,000 of debt they incur over their lifetime. So, you know, one of the things I happen to remember is a show that I saw long ago, which was starred Clint Eastwood, called Any Which Way You Can. And in it was an orangutan. And I think what we have to think of is when we think of schools being the Planet of Apes, think of the teachers as being the orangutans, the heads, teaching the students all this basically monkey shine. Okay, so, you know, I can also quote many different things about the failure of education. One of the things I had to take, and when I went to college, it was a real worry. My parents were worried because only a few people got in. Colleges were limited to those that had the intellectual ability. So I applied to three different colleges, and one of the things I had to take was this test called the ACT test scores. And one of the things we find today is the students today can't even score enough to get into colleges, but they're allowed in. Why? Because they can borrow the money to get in. There's no real separation in terms of their abilities. Many universities have found standard admissions tests optional. And in California, you don't even have to take the ACT or SAT to get involved. So we see a failure of our colleges today. So these students, these monkeys that are protesting, think about them in that way. Think about they have not got a spiritual education. They're basically dead spiritually. And one of the things we see is this has been a great failure. And, you know, they have to deal with something which I call cognitive dissonance. Basically, they know things are not right, but they can't do anything about it. And let me define it for you. Cognitive dissonance, some people hold a core belief that is very wrong. When they are presented with evidence that works against that belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It would create a feeling that is extremely uncomfortable, called cognitive dissonance. And because it is so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and deny the truth. If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, and my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at luvh2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation. He's got it.